Good morning. Just a reminder, this coming Wednesday, we will be resuming our 2 p.m. worship service. And following our worship service, we'll be continuing our study of the book of Jude. So again, if you'd like to join us, that takes place every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. Also, this coming week, I'm going to be having a minor procedure done, so I will not be here next Sunday, but we will be having Pastor Oster come to preach and lead both of our worship services, and also he'll lead adult Bible study next week. As we mentioned, we're going to keep putting information in the bulletin about our upcoming call for a deaconess, and just a reminder to everyone, we're looking at that April 28th voters meeting. So if you can attend that and learn more about our candidate whom we're hoping to call, it would be great if you could be there. Our first reading for this, the second Sunday after Easter, is from the fourth chapter of Acts. The full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them, and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle reading is from the first and second chapters of 1 John. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testified to it, and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. And put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to all of you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Poor Thomas. We always call him Doubting Thomas. Why does Thomas get that title? Because he wanted to see Jesus before he was going to believe in Jesus. Thomas himself said, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Poor Thomas. He was acting like a little child, stomping his feet in a temper tantrum, saying, "I'm not going to believe unless I see the nail marks." Poor Thomas. He had one moment of sinful weakness, one moment of unbelief, and he will be forever called Doubting Thomas. But is Thomas really alone? I've met so many people before who also say something like, "I would like to be a Christian, but I'm just not going to believe unless I can see. Unless someone could show me, prove to me Christianity is the right religion." They basically act like Thomas. They want to see. And if they can see something, then they might be willing to believe. But there are also plenty of good, faithful Christians who can also act this way. Some Christians feel deep down that if I could only see Jesus, that would strengthen my faith in him. Or other Christians long for some kind of real-life miracle to happen in their lives, some event they can see with their eyes and touch with their hands. And they crave these experiences, as if these experiences would somehow make Jesus more real to them. Thomas wasn't alone, was he? There are lots of Thomases in this world, lots of them. Because lots of people crave to see for themselves, or to touch with their own hands, or hear with their own ears, as if that would make Jesus more real in some way. And we may even feel this way ourselves sometimes. But seeing doesn't always mean believing, does it? Think back for a minute on Jesus' 3-year ministry. Jesus walked all over Israel. Thousands saw him. During one miracle, Jesus broke a few loaves of bread, a couple of fish, and fed 5,000 people. All of those people literally saw, touched, and actually tasted that miracle. And yet, after his death and resurrection, the Bible says in Acts that the number of believers only numbered around 120 people in all. Only 120 people. A lot of people saw, but only a few believed. Hundreds, even thousands of people saw Jesus heal lepers. They felt Jesus touch their bodies to stop bleeding. And they saw him cure people who had been paralyzed for decades. People even witnessed Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead after 4 days of being dead, and there was already a stench of death. And those people didn't just see Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead, they could smell Jesus raise Lazarus, because they could smell the stench of death replaced with the fragrance of life. And even after all that, the number of believers was only 120 people. A lot of people saw, but only a few people believed. So maybe we shouldn't crave some direct conversation with Jesus or some direct miraculous experience, because seeing doesn't always equal believing, does it? Instead, you know what we should long for? To see with the eyes of faith more and more. You know what we can long for? To touch with the fingers of faith more and more. You know what we should long for? To hear with the ears of faith more and more. What we should long for and pray for is to see with eyes of faith, to hear with a faithful heart, to touch with a faithful soul. And there's so much Jesus does give you to see and hear and touch. He never leaves you alone. The Apostle John, who was there in the upper room that week after the resurrection, said this to you today. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Yes, John saw Jesus. Mary Magdalene saw Jesus. They had to. Jesus had to prove he was alive. But now, you see just as much as they do. You see, you hear, and you touch, because you see through their eyes what they saw. And you hear through their ears what they heard. And you touch through their fingertips what they touched. Through the Virgin Mary, you see the star. You smell the barn, the stable. Through the Virgin Mary's witness, you touch newborn skin wrapped in swaddling cloths and laid in a manger. You see shepherds, you see wise men, and you see the child grow in wisdom and favor with men. Through Mary's eyes, you see Jesus teaching at just 12 years old in the temple. And you see him grow to attend a wedding in Galilee where they ran out of wine. You do see. You see the same things Mary saw. And through the Apostle John, you hear Jesus being arrested in the garden and Jesus saying, "Put your swords away." Through John, you hear the high priest question Jesus. You hear a guard slap his face. Through John, you can hear Pilate say, "I find no guilt in him." And yet hear the crowd shout, "Crucify him." Through John, you hear the hammering of nails. You hear a cross being raised. And 6 hours later, you hear the final words Jesus spoke. "It is finished." But 3 days later, you see and hear and touch something else. Through Mary Magdalene, you see an open tomb while the sun had not yet risen. Through Peter and John, you see grave clothes folded up and laid aside, grave clothes never to be used ever again. Through Mary Magdalene, you hear the resurrected Jesus speak and say, "Woman, why are you crying? Whom are you seeking?" And 1 week later, on this day, through Thomas, of all people, you touch the resurrected Jesus' nail marks in his hands. He really was dead, but is now very much alive. You see it all through them. You hear it all through them. You touch it all through them. After Thomas saw the resurrected Christ, John captured these final words meant for you to hear. You who have not seen, and yet you who do believe. He wrote this. Jesus said to Thomas, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may also have life in his name. We have not seen, and yet we have believed. We believe because we have seen through their eyes and heard through their ears and touched through their fingers. But Jesus also hasn't left you alone just to hear and touch and see through them. Because doesn't Jesus still come to you every week through the Lord's Supper? He's promised to. He's promised to come physically to you so you also can touch and see and hear and taste everything that he's done for you. Jesus hasn't left you alone. He would never do that. He loves you too much and he wants to be near you too much to just abandon you. So until his second coming, he will keep coming back to you in the flesh, in his body and blood, and proclaiming to you through his own words as you hear them, "Peace be with you. Your sins are forgiven and your deaths have been destroyed. Peace be with you. Amen." And now may the peace of our God, which surpasses our understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.